New court filings today are providing a peek behind the curtain of the Harvard University admissions process. The documents are part of a lawsuit filed in 2014 by a group called Students for Fair Admissions. It claims that Harvard discriminates against Asian American applicants, and it challenges the so-called whole person approach that Harvard uses to weigh applications. For a look at what the new documents are telling us, we turn to WBUR reporter Fred Tice, who has just spent the day combing through 700 pages. Fred, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Lisa. Still a long way to go.
A long way to go, I can imagine. So far, though, tell us what the thrust is of the group's lawsuit.
So the thrust of it is that Harvard is using tougher standards on Asian Americans to keep the number of those students down on campus.
Okay. And what are we learning from the documents today?
So this is also an opportunity to see what a college goes through when it's looking at students, right? It's a very secretive process, and the curtain's been pulled back a little bit. So among the things that we've learned is that Harvard ranks its applicants on a scale of 1 to 6, 1 being the best, and it does this in a bunch of categories. So there's academic, there's extracurricular activities, there's athletics, there's something called personal, and then there's overall. And the personal one's very subjective. It includes things like personality and others like to be around him or her, has character traits such as likability, helpfulness, courage, kindness, is an attractive person to be with, is widely respected, is a good person, and has good human qualities. And Harvard tells the people who read the student applications that when they're figuring out the overall score, they need to step back and to take all the factors into account. So it's a more or less subjective kind of thing, and it is that overall score that counts. We also learned something else. You know, Harvard likes to say that it favors low-income applicants, as do many other universities, that it tries to bring them in, first-generation college students. But we learned that it doesn't favor them as much as it favors athletes and students who have relatives who graduated from Harvard.
So athletes and legacy students.
Yes.
The documents, I know, contain some admissions data as well, some of which was provided by Harvard itself. What's in that?
So the group suing Harvard here hired a professor, very respected Duke University professor, to do its data analysis. And he looked at 6 years of admissions data, and he found that an Asian American applicant with a 25% chance of admission would have a 35% chance of admission if that person were white, 75% if he or she were Latino or Latina, and a 95% chance if he or she were African American. Harvard's own documents show that admissions officials assign Asian Americans the lowest score of any racial group on the personal rating. That's that more, nebulous rating. And the group suing Harvard says if Harvard admitted students based only on their academic index, Asian Americans would comprise over half of the admitted class. And we're also seeing some testimony from a former Harvard employee who conducted data analysis on admissions at Harvard, a former Harvard employee. And he testified that the reports show that Asian Americans are disadvantaged in the admissions process at Harvard. And then cross-examination, he was asked by the plaintiff's attorneys, do you have any explanation other than intentional discrimination for your conclusions regarding the negative association between Asians and the Harvard admissions process? He answered, no, I don't.
So we've heard a lot from the plaintiff in this case. What is Harvard's response?
Harvard issued a long statement today. I'll sum it up for you a little bit. Basically, they're saying that if you look at the data, it's clear that Harvard does not discriminate. And they point out that the admission of Asian Americans over the last 10 years has increased by 29%. That's the admissions. That doesn't mean that they actually ended up coming to Harvard. And Harvard says that Students for Fair Admissions analysis of the data is incomplete and misleading, and for example, because it admits things like personal essays and teacher recommendations.
It omits those things.
It omits those things. The group says, hey, not fair. You're not letting us look at that data, right? Because it would identify all these students, these tens of thousands of students. So they're saying that Harvard, not fair. You'd say that our analysis is omitting that because you won't even show us that.
So this is one more step in the case. Where does it go from here?
So a lot of lines today, and actually big chunks of pages I'm seeing now, are blacked out because Harvard has asked them for them to be blacked out.
Do we know what that is? Is it names? Or?
Harvard is saying, well, they just want to make sure that personal information of students is not brought out, right? Well, It's clear from my, I mean, I'm reading these documents now. It's clear that, I mean, all the stuff I'm looking at has nothing to do with personal identification of students. And in 10 days, the judge is expected to decide which documents can stay blacked out and which must be made public. So we could learn a lot more about Harvard's admissions process.
Could the outcome of the case have any effect on other colleges and universities?
Absolutely. This case could very well go to the Supreme Court. Right now, colleges can use race in admissions decisions in a limited way. This lawsuit could test that.
Okay. WBUR's reporter Fred Tice, thank you.
Thanks, Lisa.
The lawsuit against Harvard is the latest challenge to the college admissions process. In 2016, the Supreme Court ruled against the same group, Students for Fair Admission, in a similar lawsuit. That one was against the University of Texas at Austin. In that case, the court found that UT's admissions process was indeed fair, and it ruled that the school could continue to use race as one of the factors in judging applicants. An education professor at Harvard has championed the idea of diversity in higher ed. Natasha Wariku has written a book about it, in fact, called The Diversity Bargain and Other Dilemmas of Race, Admissions, and Meritocracy in Elite Universities. She joins us now. Welcome, Professor, to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What's your reaction to the claims made in the documents filed today?
So, I think one thing that we need to keep in mind is that there's no one best way to think about admissions and when we're thinking about selection. That, you know, if we look at test scores and GPAs, we get one outcome of admissions. If we look at, say, leadership qualities and think about how we might measure that, we might get a different outcome if we think about character. And so if we think about extracurricular excellence and this idea of, you know, let's select students who are, you know, what admissions officers call pointy, you know, have some talent, whether that be, you know, dance talent or musical talent or, you know, research talent, then we might get a whole other set of students. So I think the important thing to keep in mind is that these outcomes are based very much on how we think about what a fair system of selection is, and that system, that selection changes over time. Even, you know, within selective universities in the United States over time, even Harvard in particular over time, Harvard's admissions has changed over the decades of the 20th century. And so, you know, I think it's important for us to see that this reflects what is the sort of current priorities of the university, of a broader society.
So what might be a 1 versus a 6, you know, on that scale that Fred mentioned, one might be a 1 this year, might not have been a 1 in 1965.
It might not have even been a category. You know, the categories may have been different in 1965.
So doesn't that just say it's always going to be a subjective call, though?
I think that's right. I mean, I think, you know, we need to think about what is the purpose of the university? What is our university trying to do? And how does the way that we select students further that mission, right? So if we think of, you know, Harvard talks a lot about educating the leaders of tomorrow, then we need to think about, well, how do we measure the qualities of leadership? What is important in our leadership? You know, Sandra Day O'Connor in the last decision talked about, you know, in the 2006 decision about the importance of a leadership that reflects the society. So how do we ensure that, you know, people see themselves in their leadership? I think that's something to think about as well.
Professor, hang on one second. Fred Tice is still in the studio here, and I think he has a question for you.
No, well, you know, one of the things I was talking about this with a very respected economist, Susan Donarski at University of Michigan. She's looked at the interpretations by both sides of this data, and I don't know if – have you done that yourself, and can you speak to how each side is cutting up the data to favor itself at all?
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to read the analyses of the two. I know there's an economist on both sides, and they have different interpretations of the data. I did read that the ratings for Asian Americans on these kind of more – say holistic characteristics were lower than other students, which is troubling. But I can't say more than that because I don't know the data.
What is the model that you would use to create a more fair and equitable admissions process?
So from my perspective, I like to think about this as, you know, I think this idea that we can actually rank students and say, you know, out of tens of thousands of the applicants that come to a place like Harvard, selecting that 1 in 20 student that is the best of the best, I think the idea that we can actually do that, for me, is problematic. So I think, you know, that we could have some sort of bar to say that, you know, you have to have a certain level of academic skills, a certain, you know, demonstrate whatever it is, a certain quality, say, in those six areas, a competency in these six areas. And then let's have a lottery and say, you know, the reality is, you know, Drew Faust has even talked about this. We could fill the class of Harvard twice over with, you know, amazing students. Valedictorians routinely get rejected because we just, again, you could fill the class with people who have all of these amazing qualities. And there are so many amazing young people in this country. And I think if we had some form of a lottery and you could have provision for whatever is important to the university, athletics, you know, legacies. I would disagree with legacies, but, you know, many, you know, if that's whatever, what have you, representation. And it would really sort of signal that these, I mean, people who get selected are lucky, right? And they've worked hard, but they're also lucky.
So you're saying create a baseline, and then everything above that would be decided by a lottery?
That's right.
How would that, though, bring about a more diverse student body?
Well, I think for me, it would signal that you can never devise a system that is completely fair and that a pure meritocracy. To me, that the idea of a meritocracy in an unequal society is problematic because we have unequal resources in our society. There's the ongoing effects of historical discrimination and exclusion that, you know, that's very hard to tease these things out. And, you know, in terms of diversity, I would say, you know, I think we need to separate also this issue of Asian Americans from affirmative action. And I think, you know, Blum has and his associates have never cared about racial discrimination until this case. And this is really a backhanded way of attacking affirmative action, right? And that's really his goal, as, you know, the previous case made clear. And so, but, you know, the Supreme Court has ruled that there is a compelling state interest in a diverse student body and a diverse learning environment. And so we want to be able to say that, yes, we want a quorum of underrepresented minorities on campus. And that is a very different issue from, you know, whether this issue of Asian Americans. And I think we need to make that clear as well.
All right. Natasha Waraku, we're going to leave it right there. Natasha Waraku is an education professor at Harvard University, author of The Diversity Bargain and Other Dilemmas of Race, Admissions, and Meritocracy at Elite Universities. Very nice to have you on Radio Boston. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Stay with us. Coming up, the story of a man who ran the Appalachian Trail averaging 50 miles a day. I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is Radio Boston.